Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills celebrate another victory Monday. They are 3-0 to start the season. First time since 2011, the Bills have begun a season 3-0. Rookie tight end Dawson Knox was our guest in the first hour of the show. He caught his first career touchdown yesterday. Buffalo's first touchdown, a one-yard catch from Josh Allen. Dawson Knox's first touchdown since 2014 when he was a junior in high school. Josh Allen with his fourth career fourth quarter comeback and just his 14th career start. He trails only Joe Ferguson for the most comebacks by a Bills quarterback in their first two seasons. Ferguson had five of them. The Bills meeting today, looking at film, attending to their injured, including John Feliciano. We'll get an update from head coach Sean McDermott around 4 p.m. today as far as the injuries and the outlook for the Buffalo Bills. They've got the Patriots coming in Sunday. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman left yesterday's game in the second quarter. Missed the rest of the game with what they call a chest injury, thought to be his ribs. Adam Schefter of ESPN said he should be okay. Initial x-rays were negative. Not okay. Giants running back Saquon Barkley, they will miss him for the next several games. NFL Network says Barkley is expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain suffered yesterday. Barkley was in a walking boot and using crutches after the Giants' dramatic 32-31 win over Tampa Bay yesterday. Jaguars star cornerback Jalen Ramsey called in sick to work today. Did not show up for the Jaguars' Monday practice. Head coach Doug Marrone said he got the message that Ramsey was sick from the team's trainer. Ramsey called the team last night. Ramsey thinks he has the flu. Monday Night Football tonight, the Bears and Washington. That game at 8:15 tonight at FedEx Field. Redskins lead the all-time series, 22 wins, 20 losses, and one tie. As we said, 8:15 kickoff. It is Case Keenum going for Washington, Mitchell Trubisky for the Chicago Bears. And the Buffalo Sabres with roster moves yesterday, 14 players assigned to the Rochester Americans. Sabres on the practice side today. They play their next preseason game Wednesday night when Columbus is here in town. Face off of that game set at 7 p.m. That's the update. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio. Steve, how are you? We haven't talked much. We both had good weekends, right?
We've got all these people intruding on our conversation
today, right? Yeah. Right. We've been here 2 hours, and it's weird, but I feel like we haven't really connected.
This might have been my favorite weekend of the entire summer.
Summer is over now, but it's over. You waited to the end. Why? What was so good? Why'd you like?
Bills win. Borderland Music Festival over in East Aurora. Got to spend some quality time with some good friends and some family, and weather was spectacular as it has been
for
the
summer
past
weather, really.
12 weeks. You know, it's been that way. So, at this point, you know, I don't have anything, you know, I don't help out with the broadcast at all on game day and stuff. So I could come over. I said hello to some people. Sometimes I don't get a chance to say hi to on game day. It was great. It was great. I just said watch the game and enjoy it. So it's a nice change for me. I'm still kind of flush with this new freedom I have on weekends.
You watched the first half. I saw you back in the back of our booth. Can you see back there?
Nope.
Okay.
That's why I left.
I get it. Our booth is interesting, though. I've had people tell me, maybe they're not the greatest fans and maybe don't understand the game like you, but they tell me that's really fun in your booth. There's so much going on. It is. There's a lot going on in our booth. You know what I mean? A lot of yak.
Yeah.
What?
There's about as much going on in your booth as there is in any single seat in the stadium, too. There's people talking all the way around you anyway. That's what the radio booth is. Now, it's
Steve Buzzkill Tasker joining Chris Buzzkill.
I agree that they're not the voice of the Bills, you know.
No, not that. I'm just saying, look, I am mentally exhausted at the end of this games because I got a lot going on. I got people flipping cards at me, read this commercial.
I feel you. I'm mentally exhausted. You're concentrating for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, that's halftime. I mean, you take like breaks here and there, but even then, the pressure doesn't go away.
Not impressed.
So I feel you. Okay. I feel you.
No, you don't. You've already made that plain.
I'm just saying for you, yes, but people, not you, the fans coming up in the booth say, hey, it's great. It's not great up there. Come on.
Oh, it's pretty cool. We're not splitting atoms up there or anything, but it's pretty
fun. Well, you ain't breaking rocks with a hammer, but it's not easy work for you guys. You and Eric, I know how that is. Even your stat guy and everybody up there is like, you know, they're dialed in. So it's a pretty serious booth, and it's a work atmosphere, no question. And it's fun to sit there and watch anybody who's good at it do it. I get that, I guess. I didn't, but
Anybody notice how well Steve backpedals after his initial comment?
I mean, you're there to watch the game. And
you couldn't see.
And I'm in the back of the booth. What am I going to do? I've seen you work before.
Maybe we can get you a better seat next time.
I'll sit up there on your lap. So that'll be a good seat.
No, you won't. You're always welcome, though, Steve. Even if you don't like it, you're always welcome.
Well, I may take you up on it unless I get a better offer.
Hey, we're talking to Bills fans. We got Maddie Glab coming in for the Maddies in a moment or two. She'll let us know her awards for the Bills' victory. She does it every time the Bills win. The Maddies want to know what you liked, what you disliked from the Bills' win over the Bengals. We got to go to the tweet sheet. Haven't done that yet. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Let's get it started from Louie. He says, I know it may not seem like a huge deal, but our punter has shown an inability to pin the other team inside the 10-yard line with any consistency. When you're punting from your 40, you should be able to pin him deep. I thought it was a rough game for Bohorquez yesterday.
Yeah, he also got brushed up against one time. And, yeah, I'm with you. He did put it inside the 20 once, but it was like to the 18, and it was a high, very short punt. I wish he would have gotten deeper with that. You're getting away with it right now, but as of right now, the statistics say every time they punt, they get 10 yards more on their net punt than we do, or roughly 10 yards. That's a first down.
Yeah.
Their offense is required to make one less first down than ours every time we punt as opposed to when they punt to us. That's an issue. You got to change that, and it's the kind of things that – it's the statistics and the yardage, it kind of goes unnoticed. But it's there. It's a real thing. Every time they punt, they get 10 extra yards. Every time we punt, we get 10 fewer yards than they do. And it's a first down that Josh Allen's got to come out there and complete two passes or hand it off. I mean, it's just extra, it's a narrower margin of error. And you got to fix it.
Another one from the tweet sheet. This is interesting. I know you looked into this. From Max, he said, I loved everything about the first half. I also think this team can close out games and win the majority of the close ones. I just wish they wouldn't, quote, take their foot off the gas when they get a lead. Stay aggressive and dominate. You don't want to let these teams stick around. You got those stats you whipped out here earlier on in the show about the way they started the second half. I don't know. Look, I don't know that they took their foot off the gas. I think we needed more points. And I heard somebody on the radio this morning say, well, they've done it now a couple of times this season. Against the Giants, they gave up a touchdown. We're up by 7, and they immediately scored a touchdown. That's keeping your foot on the gas. And, look, you got to do it, and you got to be aggressive. I get it. I also think the Bills wanted to establish a run, right? And that's what you had third quarter, right?
They ran 8 times in the third quarter, and they threw 6 times. And they had –
with the lead.
Yeah, with the lead. And here's the thing interesting, too. They didn't have a single – in the first 3 drives of the second half, they didn't have a single completed pass. So there you go. And one of them was they did have one. It was an interception. It completed the other team. So that was the thing. I mean, it was just unproductive when they came back out. They ran the ball really well, 3 yards here, 15 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, and they got lined up with a 5 yards and a 4 yards on a 3rd and 1. They got stuffed for a 3-yard loss. They had to punt it away. That's, what are you going to do? You got to convert the third down. The second drive, they came out. It was a throwaway pass by Josh Allen on first down. The second one was I take it back. They did complete one pass. They completed a 3-yard pass on second down. Third down was incomplete. 4th and 7, you got to punt it away. That's kind of the way that second half started for them, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. They had a couple of nice runs out at the beginning of the first series, but, they just couldn't sustain it.
And I got to say it again now for the third time on this show. The Bengals were desperate and ready to play in the second half. They changed things up. They had a different kind of approach in the second half. The Bengals were, I think, and we talked about this late last week, I do believe they're the best team the Bills have faced so far this year.
Best defense.
And even on offense. They have playmakers on offense.
Yep.
And they looked at halftime and said, we can't go 0-3. You go 0-3, you're 3% chance of making the playoffs. They kicked it in, coaching and playing. They kicked it into gear, and it set the Bills back. Could the Bills play better? Absolutely, and I think they will. But you're not playing against air. You're not playing against air. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, now it is time for what we do to celebrate Buffalo Bills victories. The Maddies, Maddie Glab, joins us now to give out her awards for the top performances, to the top observations she has made from the Bills victory. One Bills Live presents. The Maddies, Maddie Glab, Bills reporter, Sabres reporter for Pagula Sports and Entertainment, joins us in the studio. Hello, Maddie. Welcome.
Team media reporter.
Hello.
Again, plug your FBN.
Yeah, I need to plug this guy in.
You're not quite ready.
There you go.
Now we're good.
Good thing about having you here, among other things, and we love having you here, is that we're coming off a victory. We're not doing Maddie's after losses, right? We know
only
that.
Only victories.
Right. So what do you know?
So far, three.
Yeah. What'd you think of the game? Where'd you watch? I know you do the pregame show now with Chris, right?
Yeah, so we did our first pregame show, Bills Field Pass, which I think went very well. It was awesome to be down on the field pregame, get to take in the atmosphere. It was my first home Bills game. It was great. It was awesome.
Better than
the crowd
Tennessee
was
Volunteers.
Loud. I'd say it's comparable.
Yeah, I bet it is. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is It is the closest thing you're going to get to a college football atmosphere, sure. Which says a lot about an NFL team.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And where'd you watch the game? Did you have to go in the press box?
I watched with Fred Jackson again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we
did the
post-game show.
Back over here getting ready for the post-game tonight.
Did the post-game show with Fred Jackson. He was great. He, enjoyed watching the game as well.
The reason I like having you in on Mondays is not, because it also means we're going to win, but also because we had to talk about somebody other than Josh Allen.
We do. There are many people who are getting awards today.
Good. And the calls today, and I get it. People want to talk about Josh Allen, how he played, good things, bad things. I get that. But that, I think as somebody pointed out, that was a team victory yesterday, right? Offense and defense. Mm-hmm. It was a team win. A lot of guys contributed.
Yeah, they faced a decent Bengals team.
Thank you.
They're the second best in passing yards right now, even after yesterday's performance. Andy Dalton is a gunslinger.
They're not going to – look, I'd be surprised if they finish the season with a winning record, but I bet they win 6 or 7. Don't you guys think? See, what do you think?
They're more talented.
That's not good, by the way.
You got to get AJ Green healthy.
Yeah.
They're more talented than the Bills were last year when they went 6-10.
Yeah. They got playmakers.
Right.
Yeah,
right. I mean, they got some guys on the outside over there. Now, their offensive line might have some issues long term, but I'm going to get, Andy Dalton is an experienced, quality, and he's not Aaron Rodgers, but the guy can throw it, and he runs that offense, and they've got a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
And you knew that at some point they're going to start spreading it around, start making some throws, and they did yesterday. They got back in it.
Yep, they were in it, and I figured they would be. So, just to reorient people, Maddie, what does it take to win a Maddie Award?
So every week we have different awards that we're giving out. I think we've had offensive and defensive MVP every single week. But other than that, you can look at celebrations, biggest hit. We got an angry run award this week. So things that stand out in the game could get an award. We've had best dressed every week, maybe a best post-game quote, things like that. So
excellent.
All right. Off the wall, but all great.
There you go.
Well, let's get going. The Maddie Awards. Where are you going
to
start?
Off the wall is right in our wheelhouse.
Right? That's what we like to do here. Okay, number one is offensive MVP. And the award goes to...
There it is.
The award goes to the veteran himself, Frank Gore.
Offensive MVP.
Very nice. Yep. He had a great game, 76 yards, the winning touchdown. He showed up when he had to. With Devin Singletary being out, he had a great second half. His average yard per carry went way up in the second half. I think he had a great game, and who knows what Singletary's status is right now, but I think if they're not going to go with him next week, you can lean on Frank Gore again.
Yeah, love the way he plays. Yeah. Love the leadership and inspiration he seemed to provide for his teammates, too. And I wouldn't want to be in his way. I wouldn't want to be in his way going to my car in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah, it's a very powerful running back right up the middle.
You know what catches me about Gore is here's a guy, 36 years old. He's been around, and he's headed to the Hall of Fame. He's got incredible career numbers. Even at this late stage, he seems all in with this team.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, that's really cool to see a guy like him who's been through so much in his career and has every reason to think, you know what, I need to walk off into the sunset if I want. But he wants to be there. He loves the guys on this team. He seems all in emotionally, leadership-wise, whatever they're asking him to do, he's all about it. That's really cool to see.
Just how much of a team player he is.
Exactly.
In the locker room after the game, he had some great things to say about missing Devin Singletary, about this team, about the atmosphere. And for someone who's played in the league this long, I feel like it's unique to hear someone like him talk about a team like that. And like you said, just be so into it and so involved.
So Frank Gore is the Maddie winner for offensive MVP. What else do you have, Maddie?
Defensive MVP.
The defensive MVP.
I know.
We need a drum roll again.
There we go.
It's going to be the crowd.
Up. The crowd?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They showed up on third down. They showed up when the Bengals were on offense. That plays a big part. When you have a loud crowd, it is hard to hear the snap count. It is hard to react on offense. You've been there. You've played in situations where it's hard to hear.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask you, it was loud. Oh, and I mean, we've been here just for decades now, right?
Yeah.
And I guess it's a home opener, so you kind of forget. But, man, it never ceases to, like, wow, it is. It just, oh, every time.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, man, I don't know how you do it.
If you're a fan, I know. You know what I noticed? And we got a great view. Most of us in our radio booth have a great view.
My view is horrible.
But the people don't sit down.
Yeah.
People don't sit down in that stadium.
They sit on their feet.
They're on their feet almost the entire game. And it's amazing, I think, the energy generated by that group. And it's great to hear the players. Dawson Knox acknowledged it on our show earlier today. They hear what's going on, certainly, and they see what's going on. And I think it has an impact on the game, the noise and the energy in that place.
Does the volume yesterday rank anywhere with you guys?
See, that's the thing. I can't say, Steve. I mean, you get to a certain level of noise, that's pretty noisy.
Plus,
I got headphones.
I know there have been times when I was playing, and there have been since then, where you're down there and you're on the sidelines talking to me, and I'm as close to a teammate as I am to you and Murph, and you can't hear them. You can yell. You're trying to yell and stuff. You have to read their lips. That's how loud it gets down there, and it's a real thing. And I'm sure the Bengals will tell you it was hard to communicate. You saw Andy Dalton running circles in the backfield trying to communicate to all his guys.
How about Dalton trying to close off the crowd noise to get the call in his headset from the sideline?
The headset will only it'll only go so loud.
He's got speakers right next to his ear, and he couldn't hear. That's how loud it was.
That's
was
awesome. Amazing. Yeah. The crowd needs to be that loud next week against the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's going to be big. I want to give an honorable mention also to Micah Hyde. He had a great game yesterday. That Kevin Johnson sack was because Micah Hyde told Kevin to line up a certain way.
Yeah.
Then Micah had that tipped pass that ended up being a Trey White interception, game-ending interception, and he forced a fumble. Guys like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are going to be so important next game because they're the ones who are disguising defenses, disguising fronts, and that's going to play huge into going against a Tom Brady-esque quarterback.
We got some good safeties here, Steve.
Yeah,
both of them are really good.
They've said it before.
And the depth is pretty good, too, by
Bill
the way.
Bill Belichick said it last year or 2 years ago. He said they're the best two. They're the hardest to decipher what they're going to do before the ball is snapped. They've got a really good thing going. It's all about their ability to communicate and get it done. And they certainly played a big part in yesterday's win.
All right, let's get the drummer ready because the Maddies continue on with what do you have next, Maddie?
We've got Angry Run. So Good Morning Football does a segment called Angry Run.
Our buddy Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt is now on the show once a week,
tomorrow.
Which is awesome.
He'll be with us tomorrow.
So I'm just going to go ahead and copy off him and just elect the Angry Run that he should choose.
I was going to call you out for copying him, but you've already done it.
Yeah. No, Kyle Brandt, great segment. I love it every week. He gets so hype on that segment. And hopefully Dawson Knox makes it onto the Angry Run segment tomorrow, which I believe he will. And it is that 49-yard catch that he had, and he just plowed over two defenders. It was amazing to see out of a rookie.
That was the play of the game. Set up the go-ahead touchdown or the reclaiming the touchdown, the lead in fourth quarter. And, that's an angry run, that's for sure. And it couldn't have happened at a better time.
He had, 24 yak yards after?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was big.
You know what I like about Knox and to a certain extent Tommy Sweeney, too? So they both come in as like, you mentioned this when Knox was here, Steve. It was like pass, the reputation, you're either a pass catcher or you're a blocker. Both of them came in here, those two rookies as well. He's mostly a pass catcher. And yet, Dawson Knox demonstrated on this play and on the block and Isaiah McKenzie touchdown the week before the Giants, he's a blocker and he's a physical specimen. He's a tough guy. He's a pass catcher who's a tough guy. Guys like that can go a long way in the league. I think he's about to.
And with tight ends like Knox and Sweeney, we can see how much Daboll loves to use a tight end in his offense.
Yeah, when they've got guys out there they can trust, it doesn't matter whether they're tight ends or wide receivers or running backs, they're going to find a place to use them. And that's so far, and yesterday for sure, Dawson Knox played that role perfectly, just the way they wanted him to.
He averaged 22.3 yards per catch off three catches.
It's a nice day for the big
guy. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. Maddie Glad was with us, giving out the Maddies, her awards for performances in the Buffalo victory. Sean McDermott said coming into the season, Maddie, that he wanted to see a tougher team, a team that delivered bigger hits. So
a tough team on defense. They showed that yesterday. and one of the veterans showed that. Biggest hit goes to Lorenzo Alexander. He had a massive hit against Tate, one of the Bengals receivers that just...
I saw this.
The drummer took this one off.
I was in the... I was in the booth at this point, and Lowe came over from the other side, and he hit this. I gave it a... Oh! You know, that was a big one, and the players on the field saw it too, and so did Lorenzo. It was just one of those things that lined up perfectly. I hate to say it, you don't see those as much as you used to, you know? But man, oh man, it timed up. The guy was just up above off his feet when Lorenzo caught him, and it was a big one. And it was a momentum grabber. It led to a punt. Andy Dalton had to walk right past him off the field. That put him off the field.
That's our buddy Lorenzo. That's a 36-year-old man delivering that hit, by the way. You know what I mean? He's been doing it for 13, 14 years.
It was an awesome hit.
Amazing.
Awesome hit.
More Maddies now. What else do you have? You have some of the more fun awards now, right?
Now, we're going to go kind of around the league now. So we have Best Dressed. This one, this is a Bills guy.
Best Dressed.
Harrison Phillips for Reppin' Poncho.
Oh, yeah.
Because yesterday was an awesome game. In that pregame, Poncho and his family got recognized. A really big part of this fan base. So, Harry Phillips rocking the sombrero, and he had a poncho shirt on and a poncho jacket. Yep. Just so great to see.
Is that the way you think these pictures, the way he walked into the game dressed like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I heard they're selling jackets. Is that the jacket they're selling for?
If they're selling that, I want that.
I think they are, yeah. And look, he came out of pregame with a poncho on.
Yeah.
I mean, with the
sombrero on.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that deserves an award. That's big.
That's huge. Best Dressed. Harry Phillips.
You got to tip your sombrero to that. That's awesome.
What else you have, Maddie Glenn?
Good one.
Thank you.
We're going to go Best Celebration, Best Sack Celebration. This one goes to someone on the Packers. Za'Darius Smith. He got a sack, and his celebration was pretty hilarious. He got on the ground for it, was crawling on the ground, and got up and looked like he was, like, eating food. It was crazy.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
Here we go.
I see it. Oh, yeah, he's doing the crawl.
Oh.
And he got up and tell us like he had a big pot gut. He crawled on the ground, got up, ate something, and then acted like he had a pot belly. I get it.
I wonder what the message was.
I don't know.
What do you think the message
was? That's got to be a locker room inside joke.
Right?
Feed me, make me fat. I don't know. You're right. It certainly deserves the question mark of the week.
Army crawl on the ground, gets up.
Army crawl on the ground, eat like you're laying in the dirt, eating food, then get up and act like you got a big stomach.
The Packers are 3-0.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain it when you're 3-0.
And finally, did you watch this game that you gave this award to?
I watched a little bit of it.
I watched a lot of it. It was. I tell you, I'm a Giants fan now.
You're a Giants fan now?
After the Bills, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, best rookie quarterback performance goes to Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The way that he came back, was able to get the win for the Giants after they had dropped the last 2 weeks. Didn't look too great, I would say. And Daniel Jones comes in for Eli Manning and has a pretty good game. 23-36, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had that 75-yard touchdown pass to Evan Ingram. And then he took it himself to win the game 32-31.
He threw for 2 and ran for 2.
Yeah.
Look, Steve and I were talking, Maddie. The general manager of the Giants is a guy who used to work here years ago, Dave Gettleman. And he has just been raked in the media down there and by fans about why would you choose Daniel Jones in the top 10 of the draft and what are you going to do now? And even the decision to go with him instead of Eli, you know, criticizing some. I'm just happy for him and happy for the Giants. It looks like they got a pretty good quarterback to build around. And I, by the way, I would call myself the biggest Eli Manning fan in Buffalo. I've always liked Eli Manning, respect him. But I see what they did, and I love the fact that they won that game, came from behind to do it.
It is a feel-good story because they were struggling, no question about it. And, you know, there was a lot of outside noise that had to be a huge distraction for the team. And through it all, Eli Manning has handled his time in New York better than any quarterback in that city ever. To this point, he has been the best example of how to do it in New York of any quarterback that has ever done it, and he handled this with grace as well. I mean, he was congratulatory and seemed genuinely happy for Daniel Jones, and you got to tip your hat to him. I mean, the Giants have got a reason to have people watch him this year now, right? Daniel Jones, yeah. And they're underway on the way up now, I would think.
And Saquon was out for some of that
game.
Yeah. You do that without Saquon Barkley. And I was talking to Eric Wood earlier today, and he said it's going to be really interesting to watch Daniel Jones and this season because, of course, as a rookie quarterback, the more film teams get on you, the better they can prepare.
Yep.
What do you got the rest of the week, Maddie? What's your week look like here? There's a game
week,
here Sunday. You know
there's,
that. Right?
There's a pretty big game here Sunday. Might pop over and check out the Sabres preseason game on Wednesday.
Okay.
It's a home game, so might as well.
Yeah. I got tickets
to
that.
Than that.
No, I don't have.
You didn't want
preseason.
You didn't want any of those. Okay. All right. Being be that way.
Are you going to see Wednesday?
I had not given it a second thought, and I thought at all until she said that, and now I might have to.
Sabres Columbus, I think, right?
Yep.
I bet you didn't even
Wednesday
know who they were
seven.
Playing.
I don't need to know.
I don't need to know.
I don't need to know.
Stick around here, though.
If I can go to the game, I'm going to go, no matter who
it is.
Our show will be fun, and the whole week will be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how, by the way, and I thought this last night, how it could get any louder or any more intense than it was yesterday, but you know what?
It can.
It might.
There's still early in the game, you know, people are still filing into their seats and stuff. Because I had a good seat, I had a good view of the opposite stands. I couldn't see the field very good, but I could see the opposite from the back of the radio booth. And man, oh man, once that game got kicked in, I could not find a single empty seat in the entire place.
Only 73,000.
I mean, it was. Yeah. It was awesome.
It was great.
Really awesome.
Maddie, the Maddies are always great. Keep coming in here on Mondays, please.
Let's keep winning.
Yeah,
there you go.
Maddie Glab, reporter for the Buffalo Bills and the various social media platforms and the Buffalo Sabres. PSE reporter covering the Bills and the Sabres with the Maddies for another week. Steve and I back with more. We'll take more of your phone calls. What did you like? What did you dislike in the win over the Bengals? Let us know. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're coming to you from the Seneca Studio on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live here until 3 o'clock today. We got a good show tomorrow, Steve. Our buddy Kyle Brandt, who Maddie was just talking about, will be with us tomorrow. He's going to be excited about that Dawson Knox play. You know that. You know he will.
You know this, too. He never lied to us. He told us that. He's not going to tell us that we're going to win if he doesn't think we're going to win. He has real doubts about the Patriot game for the Buffalo Bills.
About the Bills winning?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he thinks they're going to do it.
He will have company in that.
Oh, I know. There's the entire world will think that the Bills are going to get, beat.
Yeah. It's all right. One of the things the Bills are going to have to figure out is the status of guard John Feliciano, who left yesterday's game with a neck injury. And Sean McDermott meets with the media at 4 today, maybe an update on that. And it appeared there was a slight knee injury for Harrison Phillips late in the game. We'll see if there needs to be an update on that. Of course, the Bills will be off tomorrow, return to work on Wednesday. Want to hear from you what you liked and what you may have disliked about the game yesterday. What did you like that the Bills were doing? What did you dislike? We got time to talk about it. You have time to tweet about it. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or send in a tweet to One Bills Live. Phone call, Mark in Buffalo. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a few comments. One, what I liked, well, obviously I liked the win. I liked Dawson Knox's effort. I liked the effort of the whole team. But you can't leave points off the board. T.J. Yeldon dropping that ball or fumbling. Josh is going to throw interceptions, but, we should have been up 24-0 at halftime. Hmm. I called Steve out a little while ago. He just said that Josh Allen has to stay in the pocket and be that mundane quarterback. I'm the same age as you guys, and yes, Steve Tasker, you are a Hall of Famer anyways. But quarterbacks right now are Patrick Mahomes and it looks like Lamar Jackson. They're dynamic. Lamar Jackson's moving and running. I think the game's changed where you have to have a running quarterback, and look what they did in Miami last year when Josh was running. You got to run them.
I get you. I get it. And don't miss my point. I'm not saying he can never do that. I'm saying he has to be able to do that so well that they have to defend it. Right now, I would say the Patriots may not rush him at all, but force him to throw into tight windows. They may let him stand back there and rush two or three guys, make a pocket, and force him to do that. I'm saying it's okay to do that, to be able to do that, and certainly there are quarterbacks around who are making great plays outside the pocket, but those same guys are the ones who also make the plays from inside the pocket. That's why teams have to get them out of it, because he's killing them from the pocket. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want Josh to never have to do that or to be able to do that. I just don't want him to have to do that every play, and that was the point I was making.
Couple of times yesterday, the Bengals, you know, as the game went on, they seemed to throw more pressure at Josh, and they got pressure on Josh, and they did a good job even without sending extra pass rushers to force Josh into some hurried throws or some bad decisions. Also, though, I can count at least three times that I saw they had a three-man rush, and at least once they rushed two and dropped nine into coverage. Yep. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's they're doing, and again, it was a good mix is my point. There was not one thing the Bengals did defensively. You got the team that is the ultimate mixing defense coming in here, right? Belichick will know exactly what he wants to do, and again, they've been around so long, and many of his players have, they'll know how to execute that.
I'll say this, too. I saw him rush two guys and drop nine into coverage, and Josh held the ball, too.
Yeah.
He saw it.
Yeah.
And he held it and pump faked it and did all that stuff. And now that I say it, I can't remember whether he completed it.
I don't know how
not.
That play turned out.
I can't remember the play, but I remember it distinctly. He held on to the football for a long time. And I don't know whether he finally pulled it down because they were covered up and ran for it or whatever. But the reason I bring it up, the good thing I saw was that he recognized it and didn't just chuck it.
Yeah.
He bought himself some time, slid away from the pressure, kept his eyes down the field, and used every bit of time that they had to give him. So, you can bet that he will get a number of different things from the Patriots. So many different things, never the same thing twice. They'll spy him a little bit. They'll send 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7. They'll send all kinds of different combinations as well. It's going to be difficult for him to decipher what they're doing, and I think that's their game plan as well.
I love this matchup. I love Josh versus that defense, and as I said to you and Eric back in the first hour, I really like the coaching matchup in this game. Daboll against his old team, McDermott against the Patriots team. The Bills defensively have done a pretty good job against New England in the last couple of years, right?
Absolutely.
At least in half the games.
Yeah.
I anticipate more of the same. Ken in Buffalo. Hi, Ken. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Quick question first. That running back we had in the preseason, the rugby guy, is he eligible to come back on our team?
No, he's not. He's not eligible.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking is I'm not real happy with T.J. Yeldon. I know he seems to fumble at inopportune times, like when we're right down there, when we need something. I know it happened yesterday, and I know he had one in the preseason too, where he was probably playing against, you know, people that weren't, you know, regular NFL people. But you know, he seems to me like a Ronnie Harmon type guy, and I don't want to give him the ball when, you know, if the Bills are in a critical situation where they could, you know, win a game and it comes down, you know, to him losing the game for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget, I mean, Devin Singletary was hurt, and that's why T.J. Yeldon got elevated. But he gives them some things they like, no question. Certainly, there's no excuse for fumbling the football. And as for doing it when at the inopportune moment, you tell me when an opportune moment is to fumble it. And that's when we'll do it, right?
Yeah.
So, you can't cough it up. You cannot turn the football over like that when you're carrying it on the ground. And you'll notice, too, up to that point, I saw, I don't know if it was from Sal or from somebody who dissected the snap counts from the game. Up until that point, Gore and Yeldon were splitting the ball carries 50-50. And after Yeldon fumbled it, it went 3-1 in favor of Gore. So Yeldon got the message.
Yeah, and just at the end of the game, Frank Gore wound up with 49 snaps, 63% of the snaps, and Yeldon wound up with 37%, 29 snaps. So Frank Gore had 20 more snaps than T.J. Yeldon at the end of the game. They saw it. Everybody saw it.
Yeah, there's no other reason for it, given what they did early in the game, than the fact that he fumbled that ball.
A call here from Frank in Cheektowaga. Hello, Frank.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
My only thing is, I've heard some comments this morning about Josh Allen. The kid's a rookie. Let's face it. He hasn't played 16 games in this league. I like him for the fact that a couple of games, when the game was on the line, this kid drove that team down, scored the winning touchdown, and that's what I like about this kid. Yeah, he's going to make mistakes. Who cares? It's the learning process. And I noticed Yeldon, after he got back into the game after that fumble, the next time he ran, he had two hands on the ball going through the line. He wasn't going to fumble again. I think this kid needs to get in there a little bit more. Who knows? He might turn out to be a better runner when late in the season, when the old guy starts to stumble a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. And you're right about one thing, Frank. A lot of people have said how they think now Josh is getting this reputation, or people are noticing in his game that when the chips are down, he's the guy they want. I saw a guy on Twitter today said, if you give me two games that are on the line, if you give me Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, I want Josh Allen. Baker's a guy on Twitter. He said Baker Mayfield evaporated in the fourth quarter of that game, the other Sunday night game last night. He evaporated in the game against – who'd they play last night? Cleveland and Rams, L.A.
Yeah,
he evaporated in the last quarter of the Rams game, did Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen seems to rise up in those fourth quarters. He seems to come through a little more clutch. You're not alone in that, Frank, so I have to agree with you.
Thank you, Frank. Hey, did you see this? I know we got to get to a break. We talked about penalties, right? In fact, it was last Friday after the debacle Thursday night game with all those penalties thrown. So yesterday in the NFL, Sunday games, officials threw 41 flags for offensive holding, an average of 2.9 per game. In the first 2 weeks, 33 games, there were 188 flags, 5.7 per game. So less than half, am I reading that right? No, about half. As many holding calls this week than last week. Alberto Riveron, your favorite, had a conference call with referees, and he Saturday night he did one, and he told them, apparently, back off a little bit on the holding calls. And it was Brady, remember? That's what we talked about. Brady said, I can't watch this Thursday night game anymore. Too many calls, too many holding calls. So we credit Tom Brady with the improvement? Don't make a face.
I'm not
mad. Who are you mad at? Brady, Riveron, what?
The fact that they just decided they're going to do it.
Yeah. Back off or call them? Call them.
Back off.
You know, it's funny. Nobody.
Call them and then back off. Call them. Let's just do it. What are we going to do this week?
Yeah.
Is it going to be roughing the passer this week? Or is it going to be clipping? Is it going to be tripping? Is it going to be illegal contact? Let's see. How about, let's just dip into the. Call it the same.
Yeah. Leave these guys alone.
Just call it the same.
If you're Alberto Riveron, leave them alone. You hired them. You developed them the best you can. Leave them alone. Let them make the calls. It's great when you get so flustered you can't talk.
It's horrible at this job.
We got a break here. We're coming back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Coming in from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. We're out of time here, Steve. We literally have 1 minute left in the show. We got a good show, though. Maddie was great. Oh, man. Chris Brown is always good.
Gosh, busy for a month.
Yeah. Well... And a lot of good feedback, too. I want to encourage people. We'll talk about – look, I don't need to rush to the Patriots game. We can talk more about the Bengals win tomorrow, right?
Let's just – and I said a little minute ago, and I don't mean anything by it, except that, outside of Buffalo, and I know fans – I know we could beat the – the Bills could beat the Patriots. They got the players. They got the talent. They got to do it. And
they got the home field.
They got the home field. They got all that stuff going on. But let's face it. Nobody outside of this fan base in this building think they're going to do that.
Right.
They absolutely – nobody would think that the Bills are going to be able to beat the Patriots this weekend.
That makes sense. I get that.
Well, that's fine, but I think it's got a good chance of happening. I think this is a team like they haven't seen from Buffalo in a long time.
We're going to talk about it all week, including tomorrow. Kyle Brandt Jones is tomorrow at 1. I want to thank our production assistants, George Bless, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, Kelly Rood, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, producer Jay Harris. So we're back tomorrow, 12 noon. Join us, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.